I don't want to look gnarly in space. Because in space, no one can hear you hang 10, and no one's going to care. No one's going to care.
No one hears you shred.
Yeah. No one can hear you shred.
No one can hear you catch an edge.
Yeah. No one can hear you get air. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name's Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Casimir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
So Katie's going to kick off this week with The Week in Bateman.
That's right.
Jason Bateman is an actor who we respect. We follow his career. We're not sexually attracted to him.
We're not in love with him.
We're not in love with him, not at all.
Yeah.
But we think he's decent, and we like to report on what he's doing. So Katie's got some stuff.
Yeah. So, he's been tweeting.
Oh, we don't even follow him. Do we follow him on Twitter? I don't think we do.
No, we don't.
We don't have time for that.
We don't even follow him on Twitter.
We report on him. All right, we don't follow him. We're not fans.
Right.
We're reporters.
He said, this kid should have been in Bad Words movie. And then he had a picture.
He's still
of
talking about that?
Yeah. And then it's like new snack-sized piece of Bad Words. And then some other link. And thanks to anyone who has or is planning to go see Bad Words this weekend.
But that's not to us.
Not to us.
Because we're not planning on and we haven't seen it.
And then also he went to South by Southwest.
Oh, really?
We didn't even talk about that.
No. South by Southwest is just like a bunch of tech people go to Austin, right? And
yeah,
they're talking about how awesome tech is, and now it's like got
music
corporate
and film.
Sponsors.
It's like all kinds. It's supposed to be like the, the up-and-comers.
Yeah.
And it's not supposed to be famous people, but now it is.
Now it is. And it's interesting because, I mean, I've always, because I worked in the tech world for a little while. And for me, the bloom is off the rose for all this shit. It's all a bunch of old, creaky, I don't know. I'm not as excited as I used to be about it.
Right. I know. It's not exciting because it's just going so fast.
Yeah.
And then
isn't like Coke a sponsor or something?
Then every development, it's like more of the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like one thing works and it's like,
But it's just like, here, we're going to connect more people. It's like, I don't want to be connected to people.
I don't either.
I want more money. How about that? Work on that. Where's that tech
thing? Yeah. And it says here, red carpet Jason Bateman, 45, arrived at South by Southwest.
Okay, if he's at South by Southwest, it's over.
Oh, yeah. So,
what's tech about him?
The red carpets, there's music, and there's like, entertainment.
What's music about him?
Nothing. He went for the red carpet screening of Bad Words in Austin. So, he was
there.
So,
there's a red carpet there now? I don't know.
Jason both stars in and made his directorial debut in the Spelling Bee centric film. At the event, Jason posed for photos with his fellow castmates and even posed for a selfie with some of the fans in attendance.
He should.
And the Arrested Development star went casual in the gala at the gala event as he donned a black North Face puffer jacket over a heather gray t-shirt, faded black jeans, and brown shoes. Here's a selfie.
Wow.
It's a picture of him getting.
Let me just tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he is not close to it. He's saying it's a selfie with fans, but what it is he's taking a selfie, and then there's just some people, like, in the background.
Right. Right. Like, this is my selfie, and if you happen to walk behind me.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tag you, though, because I don't know who you are.
Yeah. So, they say he's friendly to the fans.
I'm so cynical about everything technological, because it's just so. The things that I guess I wanted from technology, I'm not getting. It's just more ways for me to watch Netflix.
Right. Less jetpacks, less pill food.
Where's the jetpack?
And the pill food. You get a whole meal alone.
Why aren't I thin? That's what I want from technology.
We need to know.
Yes.
We need to be.
Where's the technology where I don't have to paint my nails?
Right.
Where's the technology where I don't have to change my appearance, but you will look at me and see whatever you think is attractive to you?
Oh, right.
Where's that technology? Where is the flying car?
Where's the technology that will help things come out of my mouth sounding better?
Yes, where's that technology? Where's the self-editing mouth? Where's that, I just want maxims to fall out, adages, things that are great. But no, I still have to form my own sentences.
And thoughts.
Yeah, where's that? I don't know.
Why don't they have thoughts implanted in my brain yet?
Where's the app that just rubs my feet?
Oh, right.
Or makes my feet feel as though they're being rubbed. I think it was somewhere. Was it at South by Southwest? I'm not exactly sure where it was. They have a new virtual reality thing.
Yeah.
I don't want virtual reality. I just want reality to fucking rock. Work on that.
Yeah.
I don't want to pretend like I'm in Game of Thrones.
I want to be in Game of Thrones.
Yeah. I don't want to wearing a headset looking off the wall. I want to see the wall and be there. I don't know. I'm not excited about it.
Yeah.
So that's our week in Bateman?
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Hey, Bateman, you need to do something, buddy. Here's something, as I sit here drinking a cup of coffee now. For $45 per month, Katie.
Yes?
All the coffee you could drink.
What?
Is that a good deal?
Wait a minute.
New York caffeine junkies, look alive. A new app called...
Oh! Instead of the cold,
the
dark...
The glazed over look that you know.
Dead shark look that you always have.
The doll's
have.
Eye.
Yeah.
A new app called Cups allows subscribers to pay $45 per month for unlimited coffee. And you know, because it's New York, it's not unlimited. At almost 40 independent coffee shops around
Wait
the
a
city.
Minute. So if you see a Starbucks, run.
It's not for Starbucks.
I know. That's what I mean. Run away.
Yeah, run away.
You have to go somewhere else.
So it's designed by a small team from Israel, and where in Israel it's already happening, apparently.
All right.
I didn't know that coffee was a huge thing in Israel.
Oh, man.
But apparently it is.
Is it a bunch of different stores?
It's it's a mobile app. A prepaid plan for independent coffee. So you can pay $45 a month for brewed, drip, pour over, or filtered. See, I'm old school. I just want caffeine and I want it hot.
Mm-hmm.
Or tea. If you are a latte drinker, the unlimited espresso option is $85 a month.
That's a lot.
It's about 22 cups of coffee or roughly one jar of beverage per workday per month. On the average, people consume 1.7 cups a day. That's not good. So if I average consume 1.7 cups a day, but I'm only going to get one cup a day through this thing, you can also get a package deal for 5, 10, or 20 drinks per month. And I'm sure it expires at the end of the month.
Wait a minute. So then you have to find one that's close to your workplace.
Well, it's 200. They're hoping to expand to 200 coffee shops.
Right.
And that's exactly the number of Starbucks there are in Manhattan. But it's not Starbucks. So I guess this is a way for independent coffee shops maybe to compete with Starbucks. I go to my coffee guy or I just go to random
bodegas. Yeah, but you can't plan where you're going to go for coffee.
I guess these people do. Maybe this is just not about, we don't know their lives.
But the thing is, I'm at work.
Yeah.
And I drink the coffee at work. And then if I want to go out for coffee, you go someplace that's convenient for you and your friend.
Yeah.
And it may not be one of these places.
And see, I get that. You work in an office. I'm a freelancer. But the offices that I work in and the spaces I belong to, we have a coffee machine.
Yeah, there's
there.
Always a coffee machine.
It's
around.
A rare occasion that I buy a cup of coffee when I'm out and about during the regular work week.
Yeah.
So it says subscribe. You can use the app. Already, I'm subscribers, pick a coffee shop from a list, choose a drink. I'm not done yet. Retrieve a code. And the barista uses that to record the transaction. Cups later reimburses the coffee shop for each beverage as a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So if the customer buys more than $45 worth of coffee per month, he or she comes out ahead.
Mm-hmm.
If they spend less money, then Cups keeps the change. So this is really iffy for both the coffee, for Cups, and for the person who's getting the subscription.
Yeah.
It says that the caveat is that you can only get a coffee every 30 minutes.
Oh.
So you can't just order, you can't just keep repeatedly.
You can't repeat, for you and your friend.
Yeah, for you and your
friend. Oh, so then you have to drop some more cash if you want to buy a cup
of coffee
for your friend.
For your
friend. I don't like this at all.
And it says here, so the service runs in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. It has about 100 coffee shops. And I don't know how big either of those cities are, but I'm assuming that's a comparable amount of shops. It says, unsurprisingly, subscribers take full advantage of the unlimited caffeine. They say they're drinking more coffee now, about 20% more.
I can't deal with this.
And they save 30%.
I can't deal with this whole thing. I don't like it at all. It's too much stress trying to figure out where to go.
But also,
and then if you don't use it up, what happens? Does it roll over into the next month?
But there, you know it doesn't.
See? So then you've got stress trying to drink all the coffee for the month.
But there's, and then you're even more stressed out because you're drinking all this coffee.
Yeah. And then if you go over?
But it's
it's unlimited.
It's unlimited, but I don't know if I should be, should you be drinking that much coffee?
No.
It just, and also for $45, they're saying here is 22 cups of coffee. It's a rare occasion if I pay more than $1.25 for my coffee. I'm not getting anything fancy.
Right.
I don't order lattes. You know what I mean? I just get coffee.
You're right.
You know, or I drink coffee at work. All right, so what do you have?
I have listener mail.
Awesome. So if you are a fan of Hey You Know It and you write us a piece of mail and give us some segment or just say hello, we will send you a hey, you know it shot glass. Right?
That's right.
Except no substitute. I just sent one out today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, to Shay.
That's right. To Shay, who gave us
some great stuff.
Brilliant penis news.
Same thing if you want to give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Yeah, we would like to see some new iTunes reviews. Yeah. We love what we have, but we'd love to hear it. It has to be a 5-star for us to read it on our show.
And we will read it on the air regardless of content as long as it's 5-star.
Yeah, you could write a poem.
Mm-hmm. A limerick.
Yeah. Anything.
Haiku. Oh, I'd love a haiku.
Right? Somebody give us a haiku. A haiky haiku.
A haiky haiku.
All right. So this is from Agent Jackson.
Sweet. From Special Agent Jackson, who is the co-host of Operation Cubicle.
That's right. And
he's also a scientist.
He is a scientist. He's a very educated man.
Yes.
Nice guy.
Yep. Professional brother. Well, expert brother.
Expert brother. and this subject says, a simple gah.
I saw that. I'm like, I can't read that. Katie has to say it.
And so it's just, it gives a link to it for advice on advice.
Sweet.
Listener mail / advice on
advice. So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet, or Special Agent Jackson finds it for us. And we read it on the air, and we give advice on that advice.
Yeah, so it's unqualified and it stinks and it needs us.
We need to improve upon it. So what's today's advice on advice from Special Agent Jackson?
He gave us a link to E. Jean.
We love E. Jean.
Yeah.
And from Elle Magazine.
The new, very old thing in sex.
Okay.
Dear E. Jean, I love my boyfriend. He's smart and great.
Great. They always start out with that disclaimer. Look, I like this guy.
Yeah. So, back
off. Don't tell me to get rid of him. He's a P.O.S.
But I love him.
But I love him. It's like a jazz song by Ella Fitzgerald.
Okay. I love my boyfriend. He's smart and great in every way I like, except...
That is
into experimenting in the sack.
Okay.
That's bad?
Yeah, not really.
Yeah. I'm not a prude by any means.
Sure you are. Translation, I'm a prude.
Yeah.
I'm not a bad person. Translation, you're a horrible person.
Yes. Just not as adventurous as he is.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, we tried anal sex for the first time.
Okay.
And it was definitely not my cup of tea.
Okay.
In parentheses. Don't worry, Auntie E, we used a condom.
Fine.
Like,
I don't care.
I don't care. And she doesn't care. Guess what? E. Jean doesn't care.
They don't care.
You're not asking her about
that. No, and we don't know this. Like, if you guys are in a committed relationship, you've been tested. Who cares?
We don't care.
No.
That's so funny that she was like, we used a condom.
Yeah, like that's the problem. Yeah. Someone has a problem with anal sex. Safe anal sex is not going to be like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah. Safety was not the issue. Pleasure was.
Mm-hmm.
I pretend.
Plaisir.
Plaisir.
The French entrance.
Plaisir was here in the night.
A French entrance is what it Okay, plaisir was on the menu.
Yeah. It was on the menu.
Yes.
It wasn't served, but it was
it was on the menu. And I skipped over it. I was like, I'm going to go right for pain. I'm going to go right for pain.
Yeah.
And discomfort.
I pretended to be more into it because he seemed to like it so much.
Okay, first of all, men, don't do this. It's how confusing. It's kind of like, I know this is taking it away, but you ever cooked a meal for somebody and then they're like, oh, this is so good. And they're like, oh, I'm going to make it again. And then you give it to them again and they're like, actually. And I'm like, bitch, you acted like this was the bee's knees.
Yeah. You liked
Why would you do that? You're making it worse for yourself. If you acted as if you enjoyed what he was doing, it's going to be very confusing for him when he tries to do it again. Right. And you're like, stop. Hammer
stop,
time.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Oh, you liked it last week. Well, I hate it now.
I hate it now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I pretended to be into it, okay? Blah, blah, blah. How do I tell him the truth? I don't want any more activity to go on in that area.
Mm-hmm.
Signed, no parking zone.
Well...
And the advice is, parking my petunia. That's how E. Jean addresses this person.
Okay.
It's your posterior. Only you decide what to do with it. A simple gah when he hints at the next...
I think the guy is going to be like, what in the F?
Yeah.
Hey, Katie, do you like this? Gah!
You like to...
like, no. What is that?
When he hints at the next...
You become a skexy all of a sudden in the bed.
Yes.
It's like, what happened?
Oh, last week you were moaning and saying yes, and now you're like, that will do nicely, or a grave, you're a god in bed, but I tried it, didn't much like it, it's not for me. It will work for more solemn occasions.
Really?
Yeah, like a...
Like a funeral.
Yeah. Note, if he replies with the old argument that everybody knows girls hate it the first time and they just need to get to do it again...
Never heard that argument before.
See how cool it is.
No.
No.
You know if you don't like something.
Yeah, get out of here.
That's what Katie's like, yeah, dude, no.
Get out of here.
Get out of here. Are you kidding? I don't think so.
You know, so he comes back and says, oh, you just need another shot to really get the full depth of how cool it is.
Wow.
And that's when you smile and say, may I be blunt, darling. I disliked it twice as much as I told you.
Twice as much. Or how about do that again and it'll be the last time you put that anywhere.
Right.
That also works.
You won't have it.
Yeah, you won't have it.
Broken off.
Snip.
Broken off.
Or I think you could also ask the guys, you know what, how about we try it in the reverse?
Right.
I have here a strap on.
Yeah. There you go.
There you go. Trade it off. Hey, I did it once.
And there you
know?
And you know what? Right off the bat, we're going to do it twice.
Yeah, we're going to do it twice.
So you can see how cool
it is.
So
you can see how it's better the second time. And if you agree it's better, you know? But then, here's the thing. That could work out well because if he does enjoy it, now you've discovered something new.
Yeah.
And if he does it once, he doesn't like it, you don't have to do it again.
That's right.
Yeah.
But he has to do it twice.
What's good for the goose?
Yeah,
it's twice as good for the gander.
If he's as roguish as you say, he'll be on to the next new thing before you know it. Keep an open mind. It's the kiss of life.
It's not, first of all, I don't think that's that adventurous. We've talked about backdoor action before. It's not like no one's ever heard of it.
Right.
Like, it's for a lot, it's not,
what?
It's not a lot of women's preferred thing, but a lot of people do it. A lot of people try it. I'm trying to think of this something that's like really adventurous, like, I think food was more adventurous for a lot of people.
Really?
Like bringing food in or doing something with food or role play, costumes.
Like maybe like a fetishy thing when you bring it out. Maybe that's a little more adventurous.
Maybe that's something that requires a lot of equipment. I mean, backdoor just requires the penis.
Right.
And the back door.
Yeah, and just going, all right.
Yeah, let's try this out. It's not like you had to prepare anything. Rubber sheets weren't ordered. You know, like it's not wired.
Right.
Yeah, like there wasn't a trip to like Home Depot or Radio Shack.
You're right.
Wasn't a costume. You know, I'm not saying that it's boring or vanilla. I'm just saying like if that's the extent of his adventurism in the bedroom, I don't know.
Yeah. He's experimenting.
Yeah. But I mean, props to her for trying it out one time and then
you know,
she's not into it.
Or if he likes to experiment so much, then tell him what, you know, you want.
Yeah, why don't you trade off and why don't we try this?
Guess what? I got a list.
Yeah. Just like a scroll.
I have a list and diagrams.
Just raise it up and let it drop to the ground like a rap sheet.
Yeah, and be like, get familiar with it.
Yes.
Meet me in a few hours.
Yes.
I don't know.
Ask him what size shoe he wears. See how that goes over.
Thank you so much, Agent Jackson.
Yeah, that was awesome. Amazing. Thank you very much. So I have some...
Gah.
I have some just... I don't know what this is. This is non-segment. It's freeform. It said, how spiders can tell if their mate is sleeping around.
What?
Interesting.
Okay.
So humans sometimes fret over how many people their partners have slept with in the past. That's information I don't want to know. But for spiders, knowing a potential mate's sexual history isn't just a psychological hang-up. It can be a matter of life and death. So there's a spider called the Orb Weaver. And they have the Orb Weaver.
Orb Weaver. Okay, I like
that. Like Dream Weaver, but Orb.
I like it.
And this is a spider that has the female has two vaginas, basically.
Oh, wow.
And the male has two penises.
That's great. Right?
Thank goodness.
Yeah,
right. Those are very unsatisfied ladies. So the females have a genital opening on both the left and the right.
All right.
And those cavities lead to a sperm storage site.
Good.
Meanwhile, the males have appendages on each side of their body that correspond called the pedipalps, which they look like legs and they transfer sperm from the male to the female during mating.
All right.
But each organ is only used one time.
And then it's...
No, sorry, not one time. Only one organ is used at a time.
At a time.
So she's
like
the lady
one.
Has two, the man has two.
But you only pick one.
You go with one. And it has to be the corresponding one. So left penis, left vagina, right penis, right vagina.
Okay.
It's kind of like a two-step. But because...
Isn't that a little too complicated for spiders?
Well, here's the thing. To keep other spiders from slipping in there and mating with the female, once the male spider has sex with the female spider, he breaks off his Johnson. leaves it in there.
It's like, look, and I'm going to come back for this.
Yes, I'm going to.
It better still be there.
It's like a plug. So she can't get it out. So then it's in there. And the next time they meet, it's the last time. So they only get to do it twice.
Oh.
So it's like, you don't have to worry about it. You can look and see, okay, she's done it once. She's done it twice, or she hasn't done it at all. All
right.
And they can only mate with a partner whose genitals match. So it says that if you have a left going on, mm-hmm. you have to have a right going on. Okay. Like, somebody can't come in the left and try to get it going with the right. It's not going to happen.
What happens? Do they just immediately, like, repel each other?
Well, if a spider comes along and tries to... Along comes a spider, tries to hit it from the right, uh-huh. and your right is already taken care of, you simply eat them.
Wow, I kind of like.
And if a spider comes along and both the left and the right have, you know, things already in them, you eat them as well.
Good.
So it's like the dudes have to have a look and see what's going on.
Before
look at themselves before they get too close, because they will get eaten. Kind of interesting.
I like that.
So then, of course, they did some, like, crazy experiments with them, which I'm not going to go into how the experiments work, but it's like, they're a bunch of spiders. And so any kind of experimentation you do with them, I think, is not going to reveal the true result, because they're in the wild. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're not, like, you can't put them all in, like, a little cage together and be like, go.
What does that have to do with them cheating?
It's just saying they can't, basically.
Yeah.
There's, like, no cheating can actually happen, because, you know, this is just kind of the way it is. It's kind of an interesting idea. But they can only have sex twice.
God.
So, you know,
it'll
choose
be better
wisely.
Next time.
Yeah. It'll be bad. I swear.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the left one.
Yeah.
The right one is going to be awesome.
You're really going to like it in the right.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we did it already in the right.
But I like the idea of other guys being like, hey, I'm coming over. It's like, come on, I'm hungry.
Yeah. Where do these spiders live?
No, it didn't. Oh, Australia.
Oh.
No. In Australia. It's a pretty awesome looking spider as well. And interesting. All right. So that's nothing. No segment, but just kind of an interesting... piece of science. You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Saltmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
Okay, I have unpopular science.
Okay, that was popular science. Now we're doing unpopular science in mechanics, because we're freaked out by the robo-apocalypse, which is like happening next year.
Yeah, right? 2015.
Yeah, and we want to report on what's happening.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, 2015, we're going to have to do a lot of robo-apocalypse stuff, because we're saying it's happening.
Yeah, you just need to know what's going on here. This is an article titled, NASA Wants You to Choose Its Next Spacesuit from Three Weird Designs.
I don't.
I don't either.
I'm sorry, NASA.
Yeah, they say that...
they bore the pee out of me. They really do. After Tang, I'm just like, forget it.
NASA's Z2 suit is the newest prototype in its next generation
space. Well, they call a Zoot suit. I'd vote for that.
Right.
Yeah. Zeta suit.
It follows up to the previous
Catherine Zeta suit. Sorry. Go ahead.
So basically, they have these three different designs that mm-hmm. have made it to the
to the finale. Okay.
And so you can vote on what you like. And why are we voting on what we want?
I don't know. Like, aren't there scientists who could probably figure out what's the best thing to have? Like, I'm just going to go by the color combination.
Yeah, this one here, it looks like a sleeping tent with a bubble for the face.
Oh, that looks terrible. It looks like something on Face Off.
Right, and then it has some neon on it, so it looks like kind
good.
Of like a Nike thing.
They're not fashionable, needless to say.
Yeah, so hundreds of thousands of votes have been cast, and they couldn't be more excited.
Who?
So,
the voters?
NASA.
Or NASA? Because I'm bored.
April 30th, it's going to happen.
Okay. Hurry up.
Each shell has its own historical structure. All three are odd and unique in different ways.
Poor choice of words.
There's biomimicry, which draws inspiration from the ocean, with reptilian-like scaly skin and embedded
Okay,
light.
Is there one that looks like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine? Because I'm
I
voting
know.
For that one.
That's
what I'm saying. If we're going to send something out in the space, send something out there awesome. The choices should be Wolverine... Christian Bale, just as himself.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A choice. And then Alien Predator, something
like that. Something
yeah. like that.
Right.
Get that going. No one's going to fuck with Earth if they see that.
Right. And so it's supposed to channel this, like, bioluminescent quality of deep sea fish.
Oh, God, this is 2000 late.
And it's like, no. And reptilian, you don't want to confuse, like, people in space.
That's why I'm saying send a Christian Bale suit out there. They're going to respond to that.
Yeah.
The aliens.
And
they're like, I don't know what it is, but it's got a lot of balls.
It has incorporates collapsing pleats for increased mobility.
Mm-hmm. And does that make it when they sit down? Does the pleats have a soft break in the front? Is there extra room?
Yeah.
Is it like Dockers? That doesn't sound good.
Yeah, trends in society is based off of everyday apparel, looking like a cloth cover for the internal suit, and has.
I'm sorry. What are these suits for?
They're for space.
So who cares what they look like?
Yeah, that's what
they
I'm
just
saying.
Need to be functional.
Yeah,
you know what would be a good suit?
Yeah,
The Rock.
Right?
Huh? Hello? Once again. Okay, so I'm revising my suit choices. My suit choices are The Rock, Vin Diesel, Christian Bale.
That's right.
You could choose between those.
So you don't want biomimicry.
No, I don't want that.
And then, or how about technology, which is looks
like... First of all, these suits look like they're from the 50s. It looks like...
And then the trends...
That one suit looks like Rosie the Robot friggin' made. Are you kidding me?
It does. This one is called Trends in Society. And it looks like, actually, like a really big snowboarder outfit.
No. I don't want to... You know what?
Up with air.
I don't want to look gnarly in space. Because in space, no one can hear you hang 10, and no one's going to care. No one's going to care.
No one hears you shred.
Yeah. No one can hear you shred.
No one can hear you catch an itch.
Yeah. No one can hear you get air in space.
Well, it's going to happen on the 30th of April.
Oh, no.
Figure it out.
We have to follow up with that. I don't know what's going on. I have a hey, you didn't know it here. From the Wall Street Journal, also known as My Onion.
Right.
It says here, study. Open offices are making us all sick.
What?
Yes. Did you know this? Did you know that open plan offices could be making people sick? A recent study published in the Journal of Ergonomics found that workers who share open spaces with multiple colleagues, coughing all over them all day long and touching the same things all the time without washing their hands, are more likely to take short-term sick leaves than those who enjoy the privacy of their own office. There's two parts in this. People are, I think, actually getting sick from being around a lot of people, but also they're just fucking sick and tired of having people in their face.
Yeah.
An open plan office is a nightmare. That's why CEOs don't want to be in the middle of the thing, in the mix, right?
Yeah, you notice the CEO is always
by himself.
Yeah.
So researcher and architect Christina Bowden-Danielson and three colleagues at Stockholm University studied 1,852 employees. I don't know why. Working in seven different types of offices in Sweden. And they found workers were asked to report the number of short sick leave spells, defined as a week or less, they'd taken over the past year, as well as a number of long spells. Mm-hmm. I like what it's called, a spell.
Yeah.
A long spell or periods of longer than a week. And they found a significant association with the type of office. Hey, you didn't know it. People who had more private offices were sick less and came to work more often than those who just sat in a huge secretarial pool type situation and got coughed and phlegmed on by other people.
Breathing in other people's germs.
It says here, and this is a huge finding, packing more workers into close quarters could increase the speed of infection. If I was an infection, I'd be like, this is my playground. I'm just going to hop from desk to desk.
So people always underestimate the distance of the spray of a sneeze.
Yeah. Workers without their own offices could be more exposed to environmental stressors, including noise and less personal control over their surroundings. And I believe on Special Agent Jackson's podcast, they talked about the worst thing I think you could ever do to somebody is put your butt on their desk.
Oh, really?
Yes. People sitting on. Can you imagine? Like, that's just not a, like, I worked
and
in.
And people do that.
People do that. Hey, buddy. It's like, no.
No,
dude,
get it off.
Get it off my desk.
Right. And I saw an experiment where they were like, what's the best way to trap a sneeze?
Mm-hmm.
In your
hand. In your elbow, right?
In your elbow.
In the crook of your elbow.
So they tested the hand, the elbow, and.
Was it a foot? You can get your...
And basically, like, the hand, of course, is a mess, you know.
Because it goes right through
everything.
It goes
right through
everything. And then you touch everything.
Yeah. And then the crook of the elbow still goes through. It goes up and it goes right above.
So what should you use, a tissue?
A tissue is the only thing that will stop.
Yeah, but here's the thing. A lot of offices try to get cheap on that shit.
Yeah.
When I worked for a major fashion label, I won't say which, we basically had to, like... steal the tissues from nicer people's offices and, from like conference rooms to get them to our desk. It's so bizarre because if I were a company, I would really want my workers to have as much space as they possibly could so they wouldn't get sick and stop coming to work.
Right.
You know, because you know what happens when cold season comes around. Ain't nobody coming to the office.
That's right.
It's on the subway the other day, the A train, somebody sneezed and literally everybody was like, and moved.
Yeah, well, it's too late.
It's
too,
but it's just, people were annoyed. It's like, really, you going to do that on here, lady?
Sneeze.
Yeah. Sneeze on the one train.
This is no sneezing car.
Yeah. So that's how you didn't know. An open office space, you know, makes you more prone to illness.
Boy, thanks
Who
for
knew?
Letting me know.
Thank you, sweetie.
I never would have guessed.
I never would have guessed that either.
Okay. I have an article.
Okay.
It's
no segment. Segment free.
It's by Pepper Schwartz.
Oh, yay! Pepper Schwartz.
Yay. When teachers favor attractive kids.
Mm-hmm. It's hard not to. The kids, I was a teacher, and I'm telling you, the kids who are butt ugly, you just kind of want to, like, not be with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're interesting.
You haven't been a teacher. That's why you haven't been trapped in the room for 7 hours with that mug just looking up at you.
Okay, it's not news that looks matter. Depending on how attractive people think we are, we may have found ourselves at times dateless or overwhelmed with unwanted attention.
I don't know about that. The dateless thing, I don't know. I think you have to adjust your priorities.
That's right. Just lower the bar a little
bit. Yeah, because there's definitely times in my life where I've looked scrubby and I've still gotten a lot of dates.
There you go.
Yeah. So, can be done.
Yeah. Studies have indeed shown that people attribute more intelligence and competence to taller, well-turned-out, or otherwise good-looking people.
What's well-turned? Like, turned out?
Turned out.
Like, turned out on the streets.
It just, it makes me think of, like, you just put on a new outfit, and you looked at yourself in the mirror, now you turned to, like...
Really? For me, turned out means, like, get out there and make some money. Get on that corner.
I thought you turned around to show everybody how you look. Like, ta-da!
I like that one better.
Okay. However, a new briefing paper by the Council on Contemporary Families...
Huh?
Yeah, right? I am on the council.
Contemporary families. Screw old families. Oh, modern families, but contemporary.
They tell us life's uneven distribution of beauty counts in an even more poignant place than we may have considered a school. And it says here that...
Have they never... Just ask a teacher. I feel like a lot of these things are basic.
Yeah, they say, in school, good looks help and good looks hurt, but mostly help.
It's good, it's bad, but it's mostly great. It's mostly fantastic.
It shows that some students say a prom king or queen will be rated higher in intelligence, personality, and potential for success just because they're considered good looking.
Really? I was kind of socialized to think that really attractive women are stupid and really attractive men are dicks.
Yeah.
That's the way I always thought
about
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But by attractive, I mean like classically, like in the broad sense of it.
Right,
like
the symmetry,
models.
Symmetry
yeah.
and cheekbone
because
structure.
The
yeah.
people that I found attractive were usually more, less typically attractive and more interesting.
Yeah.
Right? Hey, You Know It is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phone, Kindle Fire, and other devices with Stitcher. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com.
The difference in GPA and college graduation rates between youth rated at, by others as attractive versus average is similar to the differences in,
really?
In academic achievement between youth raised in two-parent versus single-parent families. So it's like, if you're good-looking, it's just as good as having two parents.
Oh, okay.
And if you're not good-looking, it's like, man, you
So, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think the relationship is going to last, but you want to have a kid with somebody, just make sure the kid's going to look good.
Yeah. I don't know.
So there's someone out there who's just butt ugly, but has a wonderful family, and that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
There's an orphan out there who just looks like Claudia Schiffer, who's like, I got it. I got this.
No.
Don't worry about it. What are we supposed to do about this?
It looks like you get higher praise, better grades, and more credit for being warm and sensitive.
Really?
Oh my God! It's like you get like everybody's like endowing you with these.
And all these years, I thought I was intelligent. I'm just gorgeous.
Yeah, you're
apparently.
Yeah, right. If you're smart, you might be hot.
Yeah,
you don't even know it.
You don't even know it. Well, that's a relief.
Yeah.
It's kind of good but bad, but mostly good.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow. I mean, that I think that might fall under the hey, you know it, didn't know it category, really. Life is easier for attractive people. That's why people spend so much money trying to look even a little bit better than they do normally. Except for, I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, you take it or leave it. Look away. Right. Don't look away. I don't care. Like, I don't have time. So, penis news, everyone, hashtag penis news.
Penis news is Jaquetta's segment.
Yes, Jaquetta's segment. And here's the headline, and I'm just going to let this sit with you for a second. I let a bee sting me on the penis and the scrotum to see which hurt more. Scientists have
Wait, you let it happen? You just sat back, trousers down, around your ankles.
Yes. So scientists have always enjoyed eureka moments. So this guy, basically, he's a scientist, and he... I'm sorry. He was a scientist who, one time he was just out and about, and a wayward honeybee inadvertently flew up his shorts and stung him on the scrotum.
All right.
So he...
I'm buying it.
He immediately began to think, is it worse to be stung on the scrotum or on the shaft? And what about other parts of my body? So he started doing, for the next 5 weeks, he forced bees to sting him. From head to toe.
So he was banging a honeycomb.
And he was... And he was rating how much pain he was experiencing.
So he found the honeycomb hideout. Isn't that what it is?
Yeah. That's why they call it a honeypot, right? Yeah. So it says that if you're stung on the nose and on the penis, you're going to say that you're going to want more stings to the penis than the nose. Because apparently getting stung on the penis is less horrifying or less painful than being stung on the nose.
That's not fair. I don't even have a penis.
He said getting stung on the nose is a full body experience, whereas it's getting stung on the dick is localized.
Really?
That's what he's saying.
It just shoots all over.
He's been stung at 45 different areas of his body, and he rated the resulting pain from 0 to 10. But he didn't do it just once because he's a scientist and a freak. He did it 3 times.
So every body part got stung again.
He said the testicles were the 4th worst place to be stung.
4th?
With a pain rating of 7.
What was it?
It was equally as painful as being stung on the palm of your hand.
Oh, that's bad.
And in the cheek, I'm assuming it's talking about his cheek on his face.
Yeah, I hope so.
The penis itself was a 7.3.
Oh.
The nostril was a 9.0, and the upper lip was an 8.7.
That, I can imagine.
The least painful was the upper arm at 2.3, the middle toe. He got real specific.
Wow.
And the head, not of his penis. He said getting stung on the top of your head was like having an egg smashed on your head. I don't know what that means, but the pain is there, but then it goes away.
Oh.
So he was doing this to test.
How much does this sting feel like an egg being smashed on you?
I have no idea. So he got stung at the skull behind the ear. The 5.3, the nostril.
Skull. Where in the skull?
On the top.
Okay.
Where the crown of your head. Back of the neck, the nipple.
Oh.
6.7. The armpit.
What's that?
7. Lower back, 4. Palm, 7. Middle finger, 6.7. Top of foot, 6. Calf, 3.7. Back of knee, 5. Upper thigh, 4.7. Scrotum, 7.
How can he?
Buttock, 3.7.
Wow. How can he keep track of it? Like,
he's a scientist. Didn't I say that? he's a man of science.
The thing is, I mean, it has to happen. If you keep getting stung, like, if you did it over the course of a day, maybe. But don't you get, like, so tired of the pain you can't even
do it anymore? I mean, I've only been stung once, and I was stung 35 times. I fell into a nest of ground bees. And I was stung 35 times. This was like when we were doing camping, like wilderness camping.
Oh, my God.
And it was interesting because it's like you're saying, I got stung so many times that I was like, you know what? I think my body was just like, F it.
Like, this is all just one consistent
pain. This is a pain. And also, like, I have a high threshold for pain.
All right.
And I didn't get stung, like, on my face or anything. I was stung around, like, the legs and my body and my arms.
Okay.
But, and then we just put, like toothpaste on it because we were in the wilderness. It's like, just move on. And it's interesting because it removed a lot of the sympathy I have because I used to, you know, you see people get stung by a bee and you're like, oh, how horrible. Well, I got stung by 35, 37 bees at once. And it's like,
that. I didn't know that.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
I think what freaks people out more is the idea that they've been stung by something and not knowing what it is. But we saw it. We fell into a nest. We saw the bees come out. And we were it was like a little Rascals cartoon. We were like, yeah. You know, we're just like running. And our camp counselor was like, oh, man. Can you imagine?
Get out the toothpaste.
I think we were like 8 years old or 9 years old.
Really?
But it was wilderness camp. So We had, like, we were, like, a couple of miles from the regular camping. And so we marched in at the end of the week, and we were proud. Like, we'd been stung by bees. We'd gotten cut. Some girls had gotten their period.
Oh, no.
But, like, the first, we were a little bit older than Ethan, you know, but it was like.
I always hope so. My God, I'm like.
We marched back into camp. We're like, you fucking losers. You guys have been here in cabins. We're out there roughing it. We're Bear Grylls in it. Before you even know what Bear Grylls is.
You're completely.
Wilderness camp. I think it was Christian camp, too, but somehow that got left out of it.
Oh, good.
I think it was marginally Christian. Good. You know that would not have played well with me.
I can't believe you got stung that many times.
Yeah, I'm glad, actually. Because it's just one of those things that when you're in the country. I do a lot of camping, and it's like, you got to cut yourself. You got to fall out of a tree. You know, there's certain things that you have to flip over your canoe. There are certain things that you just have to, like, get on with.
Experience and know what to do.
So now one bee, I'm like, bring it.
But not on your penis.
No, probably not. I hope not. If I got stung on a penis, I'd be very surprised to find out that I had a penis.
Yeah.
That would be my objection. 7.3. Okay. All right, what do you have?
I have advice.
Oh, great. So Advice on Advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet that is unqualified.
It stinks.
Frankly stinks. And we like to improve upon it by giving our advice on advice. Hence, hashtag advice on advice.
Yes. All right. Says, Dear Abby.
Oh, Lord.
My 18-year-old granddaughter has seen a 30-year-old man.
Okay. It's not illegal.
Yeah. What can I say to let her know that he's way too old for her? I don't want her to hate me. Signed, Loving Grandma in Florida.
Okay. This is a tough one.
Dear Loving Grandma, I don't think that telling your granddaughter the man is too old for her would be a good idea, because it would imply that she's too young, and no 18-year-old wants to hear that.
That's true.
Tell her instead that you think she would have a lot more in common with someone closer to her age.
You don't know that.
Yeah.
This is always a tough one, because, aside from the legality of it, because once you're 18, you can date anybody that you want.
Right.
But you just never know about the maturity level of the two people, or what it is that they see in each other.
And 30's not that bad.
30's not that bad. I'm trying to think. When I was 21, I dated a guy who was 33. So that's pretty close, right?
Yeah.
And I figured out on my own, through the course of the relationship, that he was not mature.
Mm-hmm.
And that... that was one of the reasons why he thought the relationship would work in his favor. And I was extremely mature at that point. Like, I think I'd left school. I was on my own. I was, like, working. You know what I mean? Like, I was far from home. So it's kind of like, nothing horrible is going to happen just because this guy is 30.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that there's anything terrible that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's like she doesn't know the ways of the world yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't know what the relationship is like.
Yeah. I mean,
is he a nice person?
Is he abusive? We don't know that.
Yeah.
There's just simply an age difference.
Yeah.
It's not going to be...
it's not giving us any kind of clue.
And, you know, she should just be... you know, accept the fact this is the way the world works.
Yeah.
It's always older men, younger women.
I mean, I think when I was 18, the 18-year-old guys, 19-year-old guys that I knew, I felt were immature.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really that interested in them.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe this is the situation for this.
Yeah. But this even like a 12-year difference like this, I mean, if it's like a 15-year-old and, you know, a 30, or like a 27, that's bad news.
Yeah, that's bad news. And it's illegal.
Yeah.
But, like, in this case, an 18-year-old and
a
30-year-old, it's not that crazy.
Yeah. So, Grandma, stop.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Grandma's probably dating a 35-year-old man.
Yeah.
It's like, what's the problem?
Yeah, right. I have another one just to kind of, it's about grandparents. So I just
okay.
To
is this elder wisdom?
Yeah. Dear Abby, I'm 2 months pregnant with my second child. Our first child is a boy. My problem is my mother.
Okay.
She loves
you welcome to the club.
She loves her grandson dearly, but she's desperate for a granddaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, the subject of names came up, although we already decided on a name.
Wow. Okay. Why do people even get into this with their parents?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my background is that we make our own decisions.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, recently the subject of names came up. Although we decided on the name of that if the child is a boy, we did not discuss girls' names at length.
Mm-hmm.
When mother asked me what the girl's name...
You calling her mother, that's already bad.
I know. What the girl's name would be, I said I always liked Melody. And if I had my way, that's what I'd name the girl.
Why wouldn't you have your way?
Well, my mother immediately started knitting an afghan with the name Melody on it.
Okay.
All right.
An afghan.
Yeah.
Second problem.
So many problems.
Yes.
A week later, my husband said that while he didn't mind the name Melody, he thought we should decide on a name together. I try to tell Mom that Melody might not be the name we choose.
And she was like, I already knew this fucking asshole.
Her response was, well, my granddaughter will always be Melody to me.
If you see her. I might knit that Afghan.
Melody, where are you?
Yeah. Melody, can you hear me?
Yeah. Melody, I hardly knew ye. Yes. Mom and I are very close, but she can be extremely stubborn. What's the best way to tell her we have decided on another name?
I mean, I kind of like maybe if you could crochet something else. Like, bitch, lay off into something. You know what I mean? Or, it's not really about you. Right. Little cross stitch.
Dear what? She signed off. What's in a name?
Dear Millie Mouth, yeah.
In Canada. Dear what? Tell her in plain English to, and do it before the Afghan has to be unraveled and redone. You know, it's not her fault. That woman can make as many Afghans as she wants. You don't have to put a time frame on
it. I am so bad at this. I am not good with the emotional blackmail. I'm like, whatever.
If she insists on completing the blanket with the wrong name, accept it graciously and quietly donate it to charity. There's got to be a Melody out there somewhere. Yeah. Who can use this blanket.
Who's cold on a cold winter's night.
Melody.
What is wrong with people?
It's just like, the grandmother really think that if she completes this Afghan, her the name would be Melody?
It's written in Afghan.
So it is knitted.
So it is.
So it is knitted.
So it shall be. Yes. So it is crocheted. So it shall be. Good Lord.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
Yeah, but I guess it's like people who look at good-looking people some do want to do things for them.
I guess. I want to step to the side and have a word with them. Be like, you ain't all that. You ain't all that.
That's the way you want to do yes. good looking people.
Like, it's not that important. My money's green, too. Step aside, me.